Today on Real Radio.
As a whole, can you look back over the last 5 years, the last 3 years, this last year, and can you plot on a graph concerning yourself that though there's been some bumps in the road, you have progressed onward in your growth with Christ? You should be able to plot a little bar graph or whatever it might be in your mind to say, I'm growing. Yes, I'm not perfect, but I tell you what, I'm nowhere where I was 5 years ago.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in a study, the title of which is quite controversial. Who is a real Christian? It's a continuation of our look through John chapter 15, and this time we'll be looking at verses 9 through 17. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We covered last time together the first 8 verses of John chapter 15, and we're asking a question. And this question apparently has generated some conversation over the course of this week, and that is, who is a real Christian? It's a question that we want to ask. It's a question that we need to be able to answer, but it's a question that is rarely brought up. It's quite frankly an uncomfortable thing. Though the Bible encourages us of ourselves to examine our own selves to determine whether we be in the faith or not. Got a phone call this week of a man who had been feeling not all that well. Noticed a couple of things about himself, just kind of touching and feeling and discerning. Didn't like what he was feeling. Notice there's some strange things, and then, as you might think, fear entered his mind. Oh, I feel something strange, something different. And just like that proverbial ostrich that puts their head on the ground, and I saw this on Nature one day, where like this ostrich, this man pushed away the warning signs until the news came to him latter end of this last week. You're in deep, deep trouble. If it could have been found sooner, we could have done something about it. You see, if you examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not, you can spare yourself not only a lot of trouble, but you can spare yourself an eternal destination that does not sit all that pleasant with you, if you get the drift. Tragically, don't be like that man. Don't be like that ostrich I saw on that Nature program, who, when the cheetah was running after him, the ostrich found that hole and stuck his head in it. That didn't take away the cheetah. And the next clip of footage that you saw on that documentary program was a plume of feathers flying in the air as that cheetah tore into that ostrich. Didn't have to happen. Examine, Paul says. Jesus is telling us today, are you abiding in the vine? Are you a Christian that is bearing fruit? Or are you a Christian who has fallen away? You have backslidden. You have fallen down. We learned last week that the word in the Greek about cut away or he takes away can also be translated. And I encourage this understanding of it in context. Not to cut away and throw out. That's in verse 6. That comes later. For others who are not of Christ, but that he picks up the husbandman, the farmer of the vineyard, picks up the branch that's not bearing fruit anymore and encourages them to be plugged back into the vine, that they become a branch producing fruit. Maybe that's you today. You might be one today that has fallen away and you're saying, man, I need help. Jesus, through the body of Christ, wants to pick you up and encourage that root connection now with the vine to the branch, that's you, that you would produce fruit again. Isn't God gracious? Have you ever fallen down? Have you ever backslidden? Yeah, every one of you have if you're a Christian. How many Christians do we have in here again? Raise your hand. Yeah, you've backslidden in some way, shape, or form. But isn't it great that God didn't say, oh, he's backsliding, off he goes. Men, when we blow it, oh, Lord, I feel like I've cut myself off from you. The Lord says, no, hey, listen, and he picks us up and puts us back in line with the vine. Sounds like a new t-shirt we can put out. Abiding in Christ, in line with the vine. That's where the strength is at. If you are in line with the vine, fruit will be produced. And remember how we studied that we are the ones that do not produce the fruit in and of ourselves, but the work is of the vine, the stock that is anchored into the nutrients of the earth. Jesus, remember he said, I'm the true vine. He takes of the nutrients. He takes of his source power, communicates that power through the branch. All we do is hang in there. And then fruit is produced by the work of the Holy Spirit, so that none of us, as Jesus taught us last time, none of us can say, look what I've done. Oh, look at the fruit that I've made. We don't do fruit. We just show it off. God working in your life, in my life, when we produce fruit, that is, when it looks like we're the ones producing it. This is the danger of Christian service and God blessing us at it, that people will begin to say, oh, look what Chuck Smith has done. Look what Billy Graham has done. And those men will be the first ones to tell you, I didn't do anything. I just happened to be at the right place, listen, at the right time. And you know what that definition is in Christianity? Abiding. Being at the right place at the right time. John chapter 15, verse 1, and then we'll dive into verses 9 through 17, I pray. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or lifts up, props up. And, in connection, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that was, he cuts back with discipline and with events of life that cause us to grow, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. And we talked about how the vine dresser, the husbandman, would clean the vine and the branches to produce more fruit. Verse 4, we remember, said that abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered and thrown them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. We saw last time in our study of part one of this that the Christian, the one who's truly a Christian, is one who's inseparable from God. Though we may fall down, though we may trip up in life, and listen, some of you, and I'm going to repeat this again because there might be one more of you in this sanctuary today. I had a man come up to me last week after this first service and say, I came into church today, I had been wayward from God for so many years. I've wasted my life. I walked in here today, I heard that message, and it was the greatest thing that I could hear, that God would have me come back. How many Christians today are outside of these walls who feel that because of their sin or because they were hurt or something happened in their life that they could never come back? That to me, I tell you, that to me should be one of the greatest thrusts of the Christian church today. Because in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says to those who are spiritual, Remember how we all raised our hands a moment ago? If I were to say, well, who in here is spiritual? Watch this. Chances are maybe half of you now would raise your hands. And that's a joke. If you were a Christian, you're spiritual. What your hesitation might be is, how spiritual am I? Oh, okay. You know what? There's seasons in our lives. I understand that. But as a whole, can you look back over the last 5 years, the last 3 years, this last year, and can you plot on a graph concerning yourself that though there's been some bumps in the road, you have progressed onward in your growth with Christ? You should be able to plot a little bar graph or whatever it might be in your mind to say, I'm growing. Yes, I'm not perfect, but I tell you what, I'm nowhere where I was 5 years ago. Oh man, isn't that good? Man, for those of you who can say, thank God, I'm not like I was 5 years ago. The Holy Spirit has been working in your life. But what if you are a Christian today and you say, you know what, I was actually hotter for God 5 years ago. I do love him, but I'm not hot for him like I once was. Well, that's why God had this message for you. You are to be propped back up because you, Galatians 6:1, who are spiritual, are to restore a brother who's been overtaken in a fall. Why? So that they might bear fruit again. Isn't God encouraging? He wants you and I to bear fruit because that's what he wants to do in the earth. More on that as we get into our study. Inseparable relationship. We also saw in our second point that one who is a real Christian is one who knows the priority of relationship. That no matter where you've wandered or no matter how well you've abided in Christ, that relationship is very important to you. For those of you who are walking with Christ, you fight and struggle and discipline yourself to maintain your Christian walk. You guys, do you know what I'm talking about? Isn't it tough? Let's be honest. Isn't it tough to maintain your Christian walk? You say, well, Jack, I don't quite know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. That to whom shall we go, Jesus? You alone have the words of eternal life. That's true. We all agree on that. We're not desiring to go anywhere, but it is hard to resist and stand against evil in this world. It's not easy. The Bible says that it's through much tribulation and difficulty that we enter the kingdom of heaven. I heard recently that a college student at a local Christian college said, now that I'm in my graduating year, I've grown so much in my faith. By the way, he made a mistake. He was telling this to the dean. He said, I've grown so much in my faith that I'm not even tempted anymore. I'm doing so great. I'm not even tinkering with sin or the thought of it. That dean told him, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. I praise the Lord for that dean of that Christian university. He said, that's the worst thing I've ever heard, because you know what it means? He says, it means, young man, you're no longer a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That you're not really standing hard for anything. You may have aced your grades, you may be on the honor roll, you may have completed 4 years of school, but you've not been a threat to the kingdom of darkness for one moment. Oh, I would to God that all of us would be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Wouldn't that be something? That when we got on our knees to pray, things began to shake in the kingdom of darkness. Wouldn't that be great? Remember last time in our study, last week I'd mentioned, some of you kind of saw the eyebrow go up a little bit, when I said that, our names are written down in heaven. God knows our names in heaven, but we need to be a church whose names are known in hell. And some of you went, what? Yeah, our names need to be known in hell. Remember, as we mentioned last week, that when the seven sons of Sceva were saying, hey, let's do this hocus pocus exorcism type thing like Paul does in the name of Jesus. They weren't Christians. They were very religious, but they found a demon-possessed guy. And they go like this. They kind of pull out the book. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, in the name of Paul and in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, come out of this man. And they waited and they looked. And all of a sudden, the man who was demon possessed, the demons that were in him came out of the guy and began to leap upon the seven sons and tore, I don't know how this happened, but tore their clothes off, and these guys went running, screaming for their lives. And the demons, before they did this, said, hey, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? You see, in that context, I want this to be a church whose name is known in hell. That hell says, oh my goodness, they've called another prayer meeting. They're preaching the uncompromising word of God, that there's a heaven and there's a hell, that Jesus died for the sins of all mankind, that God loves them. And I want them to shake down there. Come on, it's what they deserve. Haven't they given you enough grief? Come on, you know, let's preach it, you know. Let's share Christ door to door. Let's grab people coming out of Target, or for those of you elite, Target, you know. I mean, they've given us enough grief, that kingdom of darkness. Let's give it back. Let's preach Christ. The priority of relationship. We saw also, and this is where we left off last time, that a real Christian is one who is bound by the unity of faith. Bound by the unity of faith. And we pick this up in verse 6. When the scripture says here, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered them together, and they are cast in the fire, and they are burned. We are bound together in unity of faith. This verse 6 apparently does not apply to the earlier verse where it says there that the branch that is not producing fruit is taken away, because the Greek word in that verse is propped up, as we've mentioned. This verse is actually a reference to those who pretend to be Christians. They're not real. And whenever I get on this kind of a message or this kind of a point, or just give the uncompromising word of Jesus, people get nervous with this. I can't believe he's saying this. It's our first time here. Doesn't he know that he should go easy with us? Listen, this may be my only chance to let you know that God loves you. But it is incumbent upon us who claim to be believers that we abide in Christ. We will not be abiding in Christ if our source of religious input is on Sunday mornings. This should be the frosting today. We start, you know, do you know that today's the first day of the week? It always has been. Did you know that? Sunday's the first day of the week. Monday's the second day of the week. Isn't it great that the church, since the resurrection of Jesus, starts the first day of the week on Sunday? Isn't it great that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, or I should say his tomb was discovered, opened and emptied on the first day of the week? We start our week with Christ. That means we're to do the rest of our week with Christ. But there are those who just do the religious thing. Oh, you know, go to church, it's Sunday. But they never think about God again. There's a high probability of them looking like a Christian on the outside, but never having any fruit produced in their lives. They are not real believers. They're not unified in the faith. Who is a real Christian? One who is unified in the faith. Very, very important. We are to be bound to Christ. Psalm 138, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me, O Lord. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The Christian who is truly a believer can never get away from the fingerprints of God. Did you know? And I should have brought up a little prop to drive the point, but if I would have had a big magnifying glass, and our, you know, I could have looked across there, maybe put like some kind of a computer scanner thing, and look at you like Hobo Kelly used to do. I see Johnny and Becky and Freddie, and I see the fingerprints of God all over your life. I see God's hands on you. He will perfect the work of his hands. The word implies that once the carpenter begins the work, he doesn't stop until it's done. He's going to do that in your life because you have been united by faith in him. What brings us together on Sunday morning for the true believer? It is that I have faith in Christ, I want to obey his word, and that I want my faith to increase. Do you not want your faith to increase? You betcha. That's why we're here. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Just sitting here right now. Isn't that great? I mean, how easy is this? You're sitting down, and your faith, if you're listening, is growing because you're hearing the word of God. The fourth point, verses 7 through 8, who is a real Christian? The one who enjoys the security of God. Verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We touched on this last time. Verse 7, are you ready? Jot it down. You're going to love it. You want to have your prayers answered? I can guarantee you to have your prayers answered. Guaranteed. If you're abiding in Christ, God will answer your prayers. Right here, verse 7. chapter 15, verse 7 guarantees it. If you know his word and you're walking with him, that is, you're following him, you're a disciple, you're following him, you can guarantee the fact that your prayers will be answered. You say, well, I didn't get an answer prayer, and I abide in Christ. You got an answer. Let me help you analyze your situation. You're abiding in Christ. What you're saying is, what you asked for didn't happen the way you wanted it to. Thus, you interpreted that as an unanswered prayer. The truth is, God said no. That's an answer, you know. Are you telling me no? Have you ever seen a little kid when you say no? Aren't they funny? You tell them, you know, as they start to get a little older, they start testing things. And I mean, not old. They start reaching. No. And they go, like, they look at you and they go like this. And then those little rats, you know what they do? They go like this. You're telling them no, they reach. And then, in an instant, an amazing employment of political strategy, they go. And they get this glee in their face and they go like this. And then you go, no. And they go. This big lip comes out there. They got an answer. The answer was no. Why? Because whoever's telling them no knows more than they do. No, sweetie, you cannot lick that wall socket. My mommy doesn't love me. My daddy doesn't love me because I can't lick the wall socket. God says you've been pursuing God for that thing. Oh, please, God, please, 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 please. God says, no, no. And you're going, well, come on, Lord, I'll do anything for you. And God says, no. And you go, and you immediately interpret that as God doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't care about you anymore. He's not listening to you anymore. When in reality, you're supposed to be a disciple and follow his lead. And his lead in that case is no. He still was faithful to John 15, 7. He just told you no. And then sometimes he says yes. I have found out in my life that God actually says yes to me more than no. The older I get, the more he says yes. I think that's the key. The older I get in Christ, the more I hear yes. The younger I am, I don't know. But listen, no is an answer. The answer I cannot stand is wait. Yes is an answer. No is an answer. But wait. Oh, no.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, letting us in on a little insight on the different ways prayer is answered. John chapter 15 and verses 9 through 15 serves as the basis for our study called Who is a Real Christian? We'll continue with this presentation on our next edition of Real Radio. In just a moment, we'll tell you how to get in touch. But first,
all of us need to be equipped to reach out to those struggling in this sexual generation.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and I'd like to personally invite you to join us this coming May 5th through the 7th for an all-weekend event that we're hosting here entitled Redeeming the Sexual Generation with special guest speaker Cy Rogers. We will kick it off on Friday night with a free event for high school and college-age students, and Cy's special topic will be Keeping Clean in a Dirty World. Saturday is an all-day conference for anyone wanting to be equipped to reach those that are struggling with sexual addiction. The cost of this one-day conference on Saturday is only $20. And then finally, I'd like to invite you to our Sunday services, where Cy Rogers will be ending this powerful weekend with hopes of redeeming this sexual generation.
Special music by the Parachute Band and The Cry. For more information or to register, call Calvary Chapel Chino Hills at 909-393-7100 or go online at calvaryCCH.org. Redeeming the Sexual Generation. You don't want to miss this important event.
That's calvaryCCH.org, calvaryCCH.org. Here's our phone number, area code 909-393-7100. Again, area code 909-393-7100. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, just remember that it can all be easily located on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.